from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Happy Thursday to you. We do. We've got a lot to discuss today. First things, though, just hit me. Shout out to Key Glock. Have you noticed Gatorade's using this now?
Oh, I did not know.
On an Asia Wilson commercial, if I'm not mistaken. I saw. Shout out to Memphis' own Key Glock. As you hear his music here, we love to support a Memphian and bruz. I mean, he's kind of worldwide when you got a little deal with Gatorade. Got that kind of money coming in. Speaking of money, we got money out there at the FedEx St. Jude Championship. There's certainly a lot of it. Guys who earn a lot of it, and we'll be keeping an eye on it. John's going to be providing updates, both here live on the show and then hopefully afterwards as he comes to us from out there, TPC Southwind, where John lives. Hoping to have the deck party out there this weekend. Looking forward to get out there. Hush, y'all. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's a Memphis thing. And we, again, we welcome all visitors. And we thank the volunteers. We thank the many, the thousands of, was it 1,600 or somewhere? I don't want to have the wrong number. But we thank the, I believe, thousands of volunteers that help make that thing go and obviously benefit St. Jude. We will be talking Penny Hardaway today. He's been out at the program and talking quite a bit. John will break down every word. The Atlanta Falcons got some much-needed defensive help. I was hard on them during the draft because I said you didn't address your defensive pass rush. They did that in a trade, acquiring a guy who was unhappy, doesn't have a contract, might be a little old. Shout out to Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
Because here's the opposite. Youngest guy ever to hit 300 or quickest to it. We'll put it that way. So I salute the great Aaron Judge. Hopefully it'll be a good omen for the Yankees this year. Maybe they can do a little something in the playoffs, John. Remember when that was your team?
Yeah, it was
kinda, fun days, kind of.
Yeah. I wouldn't really.
You hung in for like a year.
Maybe like a day.
70% of the season, maybe.
But, no, I'm falling back in love with baseball. We got Steve Lennox on from 2 to 4, so I'm falling back in love with the game.
Cubby's, you know, trying to do a little something.
We're getting into the home stretch, right? Home stretch of baseball.
Yeah. Very exciting.
So
very exciting.
Definitely trending in the right direction for my baseball fandom. You know, I'm thinking I'll give it 5 minutes between now and October in terms of viewing. So it's coming, brother. It's coming.
It is.
I went to a baseball game this year in person. So, you know.
Proud of you.
I've done my job.
I did too.
I've contributed to the American the greatest American pastime.
Manfred. We tried to help, right?
That's right, man.
Yes, we tried to help.
That's
both
exactly
of us attended
right.
a game.
So, I don't know what more else you could ask.
Exactly.
Hey, it's Thursday, August 15th, which means that Drew Hill's going to join us at 11:25. We hope. He's out there at the golf tournament. So,
oh, boy. Well, that means he's going to be riding and he's going to be hot.
Yeah. So, you know, it literally just struck me as I was introducing him.
I hope he remembers. Probably should have contacted him.
I did not, on duty. I didn't realize. So it's one of those things, live radio people, you know.
Well, he's got the schedule coming out today, too.
That, too. Yeah.
So he's got, like, really double duty like that?
Yeah. So in terms of the schedule, right? So you have 82 games. You have 41 at home, and you have 41 on the road. Do I have that correct?
Yes.
It's dumb as hell. It's dumb as hell. I mean, we got to call it what it is. The NBA schedule release.
Wait a minute now. Do we have extra? We have extra game potential now too with like playing stuff. You got to be
the cup.
Because this is your annual speech, right?
Yeah, it is.
And you have to adjust sometimes. And remember, you've got a couple things can still
NBA
be up
cup
in there.
Opponents.
I understand that, but can't there be an extra game or something? I mean, okay. I know you pull this speech out every year.
Well, it needs to be said because it is the dumbest reveal in all
sports.
We have
to see what the longest West Coast trip is. We have to see what the toughest month
is. That's right. We have to sit there and, you know,
Well, MLK, and you'll look at the time and you'll say, means we're working, and then that's pretty much your schedule.
Yeah,
that's pretty much your schedule review.
They'll never give us a 12 noon game.
No, and you've been begging for it for years, and Silver don't give a damn about you.
That's right.
Because we wanted him prime time, John, let's be real. So it's the least you could do. In terms of sacrifice on that day, is come in here and work. Stop asking for the day off. GP used to benefit from it so much.
He did.
And it just made John, you know, jealous.
That's right. Now, there are other games.
We want that in prime
4 p.m. games as well. So, you know.
I know you've kept hoping and hoping.
But we won't get that. I don't even think there is a 2 p.m. game. I really don't.
Bro, we are blessed, and you will be working.
41 home.
When they release that, John, and John looks at the time, a little tear will come down. And that'll be his schedule review.
Like Drew can go ahead and write the story you're going to play the teams in your division four times.
We do that, and then let's be real, we do national television appearances, right? We count that up.
That's right. We'll do that.
And then what John likes to do is go win-loss, win-loss, win-loss. Yeah. Remember last year, though, the thing was to do the first 25.
Yeah, we did the first,
Because remember, Ja was suspended.
That's right.
And so... We do it every year. We'll find another way to do it this year.
It's at, what's it, 2 o'clock?
2 o'clock, I believe. Okay. So it'll be when we're going off.
So Jeffrey will have the 82 game breakdown.
Yes.
Game by game. So, but yeah, I could go ahead and help Drew out. 41 on the road, 41 at home, mostly against your opponents in your division, with some Eastern Conference games sprinkled in.
I'm trying to go to Vegas this year and win that cup.
Yeah, but we already. If you want to make it interesting, don't announce the NBA Cup opponents until this day. But you've already announced those, and nobody cares about the NBA Cup anyway. All right, let's just be the Lakers won, and it meant absolutely nothing.
You're really down on the Grizzlies and the league since they announced training camp in Nashville.
Yeah, maybe we could ask Drew about that.
John's a little triggered.
Maybe we could ask Drew about that at 11:25. So all that and more with him at 11:25, unless he's, you know, working at the golf tournament.
Which we would completely understand.
And which will replace that with, again, more ranting from me on the schedule.
Yeah.
So you guys better hope Drew can do it. And then at 1:25, Adam Chernoff is going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about the NFL preseason as it rolls on. Some trades, as you mentioned, Matt Judon to the Atlanta Falcons.
Mm.
This Brandon Ayuk thing, I mean, it's amazing that we still don't have an end game here on this. It's like, it's outrageous.
He could tell me, and you probably could too, but and I'm assuming y'all going to come down about the same place, but how much are we talking about in terms of a win total for them? Does it come down if no Ayuk? Like they're 11.5, you know?
Yeah.
And so that, you know, how much is that affected?
No, it's fair.
If they're Ayukless.
I like it.
I'd like to ask him that if you'll save that one for me.
I like it.
Thank you.
We also have some news on Memphis basketball and the Memphis basketball roster, which we'll touch on. So anyway, Adam Chernoff at 1:25. Drew Hill hopefully at 11:25. So we'll just keep you guys apprised on that on the show today. Rundown noon. That's the way she goes. It was the end of an era yesterday. As the Liberty Bowl press box was demolished once and for all.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, saw the video yesterday.
I wish I'd stayed.
The evening. You continue to drive by.
It's not just driving by. We're literally at that Memphis Sports and Events Center, that beautiful Memphis Sports and Events Center, just about every week for Chris's basketball practice.
Oh, okay.
And so that's why I've been able to deliver you.
Week by week.
Sort of man on the scene. It's been a long time for me. But man on the scene sort of shots, you know, from my, is it still Shadow Band Twitter account?
Yes.
I believe it might be. But you can dig and find them. And then last night, I go to take my weekly shot, and I notice there's a man up in there. a man still working. Now, all the windows, if you've seen it, have been blown out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a man in there working and looks like, you know, he's picking. I can't tell if he's trying to put debris together or what to do. What I had no idea was this was the night it was coming down. And so, but what I had seen as we were pulling out there, and I asked Chris, I was like, dude, there's folks just set up, just watching them work. You know, just watching them sort of hit this. Had no idea this was the night they were pulling it down. And so the folks had chairs, folding chairs out there, a couple of cops set up to sort of keep you away from it. And I should have known, because if we had stayed another probably, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes, and the video's out there. Who's my man, Jeb Hill, on Twitter? I retweeted it. He put one out there of it. Man, they had the chains on that thing and pulled it all the way down. And so the dude I had seen in there, the worker, clearly, hopefully, had gotten out before they, and I don't think I realized, not just that they were pulling it down last night, but that was the plan. That there wasn't going to be, but I mean, we got a game August 31st, and so I guess I should have that like at some point that thing had to come down. What I'm unclear on now is with that middle island there, is that it in terms of demo
mm-hmm.
before the season? And what was so interesting is Calkins, I heard him this morning, I had not heard anybody touch on this, sounds like he knows folks with seats. There are seats sold in that little island-looking, in the very bottom of it? If that's the case, that's going to be really weird that thing, because you would look at it now and just say, well, it needs to come on down. Anyway, as you said, end of an era, a lot of games written about, a lot of things, a lot of moments, a lot of big games. I know for you, Ole Miss, back in what, 15? Big one for you.
That was the one.
That was a big one for you. I think John's got a picture of that game, of the bowl in his home.
That was the most...
filled up. Remember how filled up it was?
There actually was a great picture.
There's a huge...
aerial picture.
Am I lying that you have it in your home? I thought you have it somewhere prominently displayed.
No, I don't have it in my home.
Maybe it's on your Twitter at some point.
But I did. There was an amazing
picture.
Aerial
it's an amazing picture. It's probably as full as that thing's ever been. And we know you get the same thing now. And again, we talk a lot about Memphis Tigers moments, but obviously the Southern Heritage Classic that has filled that thing up for years. The Liberty Bowl itself, the game itself. And so... You know, so many moments have been seen and written about and talked about through those dirty windows, those dirty press box windows that they never cleaned. And
you heard
Jeff talking about that this morning.
Yeah.
You know, not sad to see it go. He was. He was not sad.
I enjoyed
it. And I'm not either, because they never did it. It was a dump of a press box.
You didn't like the press box?
It was a mess. But no one ever wants to hear, you know,
well,
media gripe about press boxes.
Yeah, well, I mean,
but that thing was a dump.
And
even the SID, the folks over there work for Memphis would tell you that now that that thing's down in the ground.
Well, people
and
have
just
to
dust.
Work up there, right? So that's the thing. So
That's where the media comes in
and they broadcast 100%. The games. Where they have to
no,
be.
It was a joke.
It's where visiting media and they're the people that talk about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're the people that come in and they can gauge, because they travel. Where does this rank in terms of places we've been?
Yeah.
And they were never coming away saying that this is a beautiful press box, this is a beautiful place. They were never doing that, you know?
That's right.
I mean, what I enjoyed about your tweet specifically is people trying to speculate as to who he is.
Oh, yes, that as well.
As to who the man is.
Might one last column coming out of there,
yeah.
You know, from Jeff. Some mentioned that maybe it was Lapidus, the great George Lapidus, or a ghost that I'd seen. We love George.
It
was an actual man, but people were trying to assume that it was an actual, you know, media person working up there.
The ghost of R.C. Johns, because R.C. is still with us.
R.C. is still with us.
Right.
I saw that one.
So somebody tried to put him down a little early.
Yeah. Ghost of R.C. around
here. It does happen.
Around here.
It does happen.
But I believe R.C. is well down in Florida and retired and doing well with Melba.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes.
I always thought we should have RC. Because I don't know how to reach him, but...
Let's be real. Football, ugh, but...
He did some damn
let's
good.
Talk about what he did in basketball.
It ain't been nothing since.
I mean, my goodness. Those were some heights.
I'll text
RC,
him.
We love
I'll text him if you want me to.
Listen
we would
to
love
this, man.
That.
Have you been, do you kick it down there in Florida with him?
Mm, I've got his stuff.
Please do. Ask him how Melba's doing.
Yeah. Hey, I'll say this.
And then tell him anytime.
While we're reminiscing on Memphis.
We'd love to catch up.
And like old, you know, I absolutely think RC gets a bad rap. I do. I think he gets a bad rap. I think he did. I think he did some really good things for Memphis.
And, you know, he also hired Josh.
He did, but Josh wasn't a terrible hire. I mean, he was not terrible.
How much of that was fueled by what you were catching, wave you were catching, look, that was Memphis basketball at that time.
Yes.
Loved that. And I hate it because that sounds like I'm saying this guy that he wasn't. He was successful.
He benefited.
In terms of, you look at where things are now.
He benefited. He did. But nobody wanted the job. So what could you do?
Well, you got to make people want it, right? That's your job as AD. That you don't go out there and get somebody that hasn't done it before. Someone that hasn't done it before.
Right.
In a job and in shoes that were as big as those were.
I think that's a fair gripe.
I mean, that's it. But let's be, I just brought it up. He hired Cal.
He hired Cal when a lot of people would not have, probably.
It was always fun to talk to RC. Would love to catch up.
And honestly, real quick, like,
and he'd have something to say about that old press box.
While I'm just thinking about it, RC sat down with me when I was a student journalist at Memphis.
He was gracious with media.
Yes.
You know, in terms of his time with you and making himself accessible. And it wasn't just, hey, I'll get back with you, or yeah, I'll be around. You know, you could come into the office.
Yeah.
And I know Calkins spent some time in that RC office.
Yes.
I mean, it was an open-door policy, it seemed like. Remember the thing? And we ain't just saying this, but the man would give out, little media gifts.
I didn't know that.
Little pens. Jeff would remember that. I'm assuming you got one and didn't remember, but he used to, you know, the local media, and not as an idea that they're going to kiss that they're going to kiss my ass, or that everything that they write is going to be positive. But it was understanding a relationship with the media is important. Like we've talked about with the great Ren Baker, you know, another guy that we've thought always got that.
Right.
And so anyway, like I said, it doesn't guarantee you're going to be positive. Lord knows Jeff had to write, you know, things about RC. I had to hold him accountable. But I think from that standpoint, we all respected him. Because whether it was a student reporter, back to John's story, or somebody who was up and coming, or somebody established like Jeff, I mean, he treated all media with the same sort of grace.
Yes.
Appreciate that about old RC. I hope he's listening. Tell Melba, if you get to talk to her, we said hello.
Yeah, I mean, he never kind of got that send-off, right? He was the AD.
By that time, we were ready to run him off.
He was the AD when they got into the Big East as well, was he not? I mean, I know he, you know, they
starts to run together there because did they really ever get in the Big East?
Well, they did.
The sign unfurled, and then that thing broke up.
Remember the Times Square?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. The sign and this Times Square sign. It came on down, and then pretty much the whole thing crumbled.
I think that was 2011 when they got in the Big East. And again, you're right. On February 9th, 2012, the Big East invited Memphis to join. So. He was the AD. Now, he was also the AD when they didn't get invited the first time. You know, when South Florida got invited and Louisville got invited and all those. So it's, again, checkered legacy, admittedly.
Most of them have a checkered one.
But that's right.
No AD that's come through has been perfect.
That's exactly
right. Especially in recent history.
That is 100% true. Yeah. So that is 100% fair. And, maybe we get a chance to catch up with him. And we can get his thoughts on the football program, right?
Used to love that rendezvous up in that old press box.
So now, like, you have Huey and Dewey, which we're gonna name those as the gaping holes, Huey, Dewey. And now at the top, you have Louie. So now Louie's been pushed off. So you got Huey, Dewey, and Louie that are going to be accompanying you in the form of, you know, voids this football season. And people are complaining now that you'll be able to see the dump that is the Mid-South Coliseum.
Someone was reminding me that I think Vanderbilt had its scoreboard held up by cranes last year. So what are you going? You going to dock us for this? You're going to dock us for progress? You're going to dock us? You can't do that. I mean, yeah, it could get a little uncomfortable. You know, I think that's where I was looking at it right now.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was. And they're an SEC. I mean, what are we talking about? We know it's the dregs of the SEC, but it's Vandy.
This thing is shaking.
And the thing is on
the
scoreboard, and folks, you know, folks took their shots at them all year long, and Memphis will have shots. But what we don't need, John, is ourselves. We don't need to take shots at ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have to get you to see. That, you know, your word, these outsiders listening to it, that's going to encourage them to take shots at. How can you take shots at progress? Now, what I've had to go back on is what you were initially right on, I think. This might end up being a little uncomfortable.
Right.
Especially if you got seats down there, which I didn't think they were going to do until I heard Jeff this morning. Well, we'll see, need to confirm or not. But apparently, like, the first 25 rows, I'd be a little. Do you see the way that thing's barely, that middle part is standing now?
Dude, yeah.
There's not much on it. There's nothing to the sides of it. I just, a little adventurous.
Yeah, it is. But you know
sitting
what?
In that middle part with nothing connected, but they must know it'll stand. Perhaps Jeff is mistaken that there will not be anyone. So I thought they'd tarp all that up.
Fortune favors the bold.
Eventually, it's got to come out, though, because that new piece, it cannot be connected to what's left if you've looked at the renderings.
Yeah. But look, I mean, it's all happening. It is all happening.
I didn't think I would be excited. I said, why are we writing press stories about the, you know, putting holes in this thing when it first started? So we don't need day-to-day updates. Just show me the end. But
well, this is significant because, like,
It has been, though. I've been completely wrong, and driving by it, I think, is where you're the most sort of, it's startling to see this kind of first demo on a building that had for so long has stood, and then to know, okay, it's going to look this way by August 31st, going to look this way by, what, 2026? It is to see that progress. I think it's a great thing.
Yeah. So
and it's yours now.
It is. It's ours. And
you graduated from there. It's yours.
Yeah, no, I did. My degree, absolutely proudly, came from the University of Memphis 11 years ago.
I heard some people, because you know Liberty Park needs development immediately, and there's a plan over there, hotel, apartments, all that. But there was a woman last night on the news that lives across the street. You know, there's a neighborhood over there as well. You know, the old Coke, where I'm talking about the old Coke facility that I think the city owns now, and they've got a bunch of city vehicles there. But there are homes right there. And there was a woman that said that I'm assuming corporations, individuals that have continued to come at her to buy that property. She's 75 years old, I think she said, BC. And they want to buy that property up so that they can, I'm assuming someone wants to buy it up. You guys know. I mean, they want to buy it up, change it up over there, and not just the Liberty Park development, but around Simmons Bank. And this woman wasn't selling. She said she wasn't going to sell. She said she's too old at this point to start over. And she thought that in some ways progress, you know, she was lamenting the fact that it was going to change this neighborhood, at least for her. It wasn't going to change on her watch, which in a way I appreciated, you know?
Yeah.
We're thinking about how great, you know, using the, just symbolically, the press box coming down, progress over there and everything else. But there are, you know, people that are living right next door. And I know, you know, ideally you'd like to make it this poppin' place, and you can have tourists come in and everything else. And part of it will be that Liberty Park development sounds like it will be, but you've also got people that have had a great deal of pride. It's a part of that's Orange Mound of living right there. I mean, I guess the Orange Mound line, you could argue, but that's technically Orange Mound. That's technically Orange Mound.
Yeah.
There's a great deal of pride over there too, and I just to listen to her sort of say, well, yeah, not necessarily a great thing. I had to kind of back up a little bit. So anyway, shout out to those folks that are staying, but also. Now we know we got to get some progress going over there in terms of Simmons Bank, perhaps what it'll mean for not just the neighborhood itself, but for that program. So I hate it for her, though.
Well said. Yeah. No.
Would you sell? If you were 75 years old,
probably not.
And the house paid for. I'm sure that woman's worked so hard.
Yeah.
You know,
to pay for
that home, has owned it, has probably done She'll do the charge for a yard to make, you know, if they have parking up and down there. I'm just saying, she ain't going. She ain't leaving. I'm imagining that scene happening for a bunch of those folks, you know, folks trying to come in and buy over there.
Yeah.
I wonder how much of it's going to be flipped, how much of it are going to be
owned.
You know, there's a price to progress.
There is a price to progress. Well said. And that's your season ahead. You know, that's the people that have to live around there and endure all that BS, you know, it's right. It's a zero sum game, you know, for every winner, there's a loser.
Well, I mean, she could sell.
She could sell.
But I feel her for now.
Where's she going?
Well, I mean, get that price up. Move out to them burbs. Live the good life out.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean.
I don't, you know, that's asking, again, she's paid for that. You can't put a price on something that she, you don't understand what I'm saying? And everything that went into owning that home,
that's right.
I'm sure, again, she does.
But Melvin is trying to raise the taxes, though.
I can't tell her, take a few, couple hundred thousand, not go out there, you know, because that's not going to do Melba. What Melba's got right there is more than a home.
Mm-hmm. We have multiple Melbas today.
I called her Melba, and I didn't mean RC's wife. And I don't believe this woman's name is Melba,
but we will just.
I did just kind of envision her as a Melba.
I respect that. But Melvin is trying to raise them taxes out here. So you could just say, you know what, it's my price is going up anyway. I might as well just cash out and move out, so, you know, somewhere else. You know, but
she'd be away from her people, away from what you.
Yeah, I mean, there. we can't solve the world's problems, Jason. I mean, it's just
you just
want to
talk about the press box and the Ole Miss game and all that. But y'all, there's real people over there.
The press box was, you know, it was fine. It was just
it was a dump.
I will say,
no need to dress it up.
You know, you had the rendezvous.
They wouldn't clean it.
That's the best part.
Rendezvous was the best part of the press box.
You had that pie. They had the popcorn they put out. They had the good Diet Cokes there. You know what I'm saying? Like, but other than that, it was just pretty bare bones. You know, as a press box. So, yeah, it won't be missed. It won't be missed. All right, we'll come back. Drew Hill going to join us ideally. If not, if he doesn't join us, then I'm going to ramble angrily about the schedule release in the NBA. So you guys better hope that Drew Hill picks up. Jason and John, I turn to FM, ESPN.
Football's fast approaching. Time to get in on the action early this season with FanDuel Sportsbook. Do it before, you know, another one of these quarterbacks goes down, or do it before another one of these trades happens, especially when it comes to your favorite NFL future bets. But at FanDuel, you've got it all. Tons of different player props, passing yards, TDs, rushing, receiving totals, everything you can think of. Also, great team markets like to make the playoffs, win the division, and Super Bowl matchups as well if you're ready to pick the Super Bowl. You can also parlay together different picks, you know, that for an even bigger payout. Turn a couple of bucks into a tank of gas. Plus, right now, you new customers, you get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. No better place to get ready for the football season than on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. It's coming. Also, official sports betting partner of the NFL, FanDuel is. Just visit FanDuel.com/JSmith to sign up. Again, you'll get that $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 929 FM ESPN. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com.
Drew Hill covers the net.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I mean, the Memphis Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. He was out there this morning with new Grizzly sharpshooter, newly signed, sharpshooter Luke Kennard. Joins every Thursday, and he joins us now. What's going on, man?
What's up? How are you?
You know, we didn't know that we would get you today. And so you being here spared Memphis from my, and it's like Christmas, like Calkins' Christmas party, my annual rant about the NBA schedule. So I'm sure that all of Memphis appreciates you being here. What did you learn from Luke today out there? I know you have a story coming, so don't spoil it, but what can you tell us?
I mean, honestly, it was just a good day. When you think of just, like, good dudes on the Grizzlies team, Luke Kennard's one of the first that comes to mind. Just the way that he treats people, I think it's really easy to have a lot of respect for him. And you get to see him in that setting, and that is kind of where he shines, you know. He's just like everybody else out there on the course and talking to the kids from St. Jude and, you know, playing in his group. And I will say, he's got some pretty good golfers in his group. Last year, Luke was easily the best golfer in his group. This year, he is definitely not the best golfer in his group. But he hit some big putts today, so it was fun to go out there and ride around in the cart with him and watch him play some golf. And I think it speaks volumes that he's totally cool with us doing it. Like, he loves just having us out and chatting and asking about life. And he's a new dad and now a Memphis Grizzly for at least one more season. So it was a good morning overall.
I'm just trying to think through the roster, and I'm assuming, but would he be the best golfer of the Grizzlies in terms of the team?
Yeah, I actually was talking to him about this today. He has played with Santi.
Okay.
He has played with John Conchar. Apparently, Marcus is a pretty good golfer, and he has not played with Marcus. Oh. So Marcus may be the one that has him beat, but I don't know. I'm not familiar with Marcus's golf game. I can say Luke is pretty good. He's not like a scratch golfer or anything. I would guess he's anywhere from like a 10 to 14 handicap. So, but he's pretty good. So it may go to Marcus.
I would like to see Kennard versus Penny. Did I read today? Penny's got a two handy. Is it two?
Yeah.
Oh my! Penny
would smoke.
Good grief!
That's why he got his recruiting done early this year.
He really had Morikawa out there impressed, from everything I've read. Penny,
he did. True story about Penny. This same event, when I first arrived in Memphis, it was right before this happened. And one of my first assignments was to go out to this celebrity AM and go follow Penny.
Yep.
And this was, you know, early stages. Like, Penny and his relationship with the media was different than it is now at this time. And Penny let me, you know, ride around in the golf cart with him. And I'm not kidding. It was a shotgun start, so they started on, like, one of the par threes. And he hit it to about 2 feet off the tee and tapped it in for birdie. And all of the rumors that I had heard about Penny's golf game being very good, I realized were true in a matter of about 5 seconds. And so I was incredibly impressed. So Morikawa is not the only one that Penny is impressed with his golf game. I think anybody that's been around him realizes that he's super good, like, the moment that you watch him play. And he's, like, what makes him so good is he's just an incredible putter. Like, anything around the greens, Penny's automatic. It's pretty impressive.
I want it. Senior tour? I mean, just in case he ever wanted to, you know, step away from coaching. I mean, the guys. Listen, John and I were having the discussion that, like, you're so good at this. There's clearly a passion, you know. And if it ever gets to a point where you don't feel... You know what I'm saying? You don't,
like,
feel appreciated.
He was exasperated in that radio interview earlier this summer. Like, but, bro, if it's that big of a thing,
clearly
just go play golf. I haven't seen Penny that happy since 2019.
And you probably saw too, Drew. I think it was the golf at the birthday outing. Was it a birthday? He took everybody out to you know, like a bunch of dudes out to Arizona, whatever it was, and
right
to Vegas. It was Vegas.
Is what you did see it. It was during Summer League, exactly.
Just go do that.
And, I mean, that is where he is at peace. There.
Get on a PJ and let that be your life.
It's a nice life,
you know. So are you willing to advocate for Penny stepping down right now?
No one's asking for that. I'm just saying it is clearly a night, and he has a true passion, and it appears to be golf. Yes.
Couple things here. One, I think he still enjoys coaching basketball, and he still wants to make the city proud, and I think that still weighs on him.
No question.
I think that's part of the reason why he cares so much about the opinions about it.
Yep.
Let's not go too far here. Second of all, I don't think his job is stopping his passion for golf right now. Like, I think Penny still gets out there playing. So, your game isn't that good if you don't play. So, he finds time to be out there, and, you know, he also gets to coach the Memphis basketball team. But it was pretty cool. Like, Morikawa he was really impressed.
I could
tell. Yeah. Penny was getting some tips. Morikawa, didn't even realize that Penny had 6 knee surgeries. And that was, even more impressed when he realized that Penny's got bad knees and he's still out there playing golf at that high of a level.
That's crazy.
So that was pretty cool. Yeah, Colin Morikawa is, from my experience with him, one of the nicer guys on tour. And so that was a good combination to see. That was a fun little thing to dissect yesterday at the golf course.
Yeah, so I really have held back on this information. And I'm just, you know, with the golf tournament in town and, you know, everybody's talking about their game. I held back on this information because I didn't want to, you know, rub it in anybody's face. But at Topgolf, I can hit the ball off the tee, and it goes about 170 yards.
Are we supposed to applaud? Brad, can we get the round of applause? Hey, John. Thank you.
Nobody
John,
care.
I'm so proud of you, man. I'm so proud of you. You're a real athlete. Congratulations on your
golf. That's terrible.
The guy's ridiculous.
170 yards is terrible, by the way.
Don't encourage it, Drew. You should slap it down.
It's so bad, actually.
Discourage this sort of behavior.
Like, I actually, I thought it was good, and then I told a friend of mine that actually does golf. He's like, where was the rest of it? Where was the rest of the swing? So I got to keep getting better.
Do you like that? Do you like the Topgolf experience? Do you have fun when you go out there?
I do. I do. I enjoy it. Because I'm, just competitive, but B, it's fun. It's hard not to have a good time, you know, when you're just out there hitting it and getting after it, you know what I mean? So I enjoy it, and I'd like to go again here soon, honestly, and get that 170 up to 200.
For some reason, I found myself at Topgolf, 2 out of the last 3 years on Kentucky Derby Day. It's a pretty great place to do that. Because you can actually, you know, set up your TV in your little bay to whatever sport event that's on. You can go hit a few shots. You can check back in. And with horse racing, you know, they only race once every 30 minutes or 35 to 40 minutes. So, you don't have to watch it in depth all the time. And then they got those big TVs in there and the one in Memphis. It's a pretty good spot. I've had some good days out of Topgolf. I have fun there too.
Yeah, it's a good time. Hopefully soon enough. Talking to Drew Hill, covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. All right, later today, there is going to be a schedule release. 41 home, 41 road. That's not really what I'm interested in. What I'm interested in, and maybe you know the answer to this, and maybe you don't, where are we going to watch these games? Where will these games be televised?
Well, as of now, going to remain you're still going to be able to watch. If you have cable, if you have Xfinity, you know, you're going to be able to watch, you know, Bally Sports on TV like you normally would. That recently was agreed to, which, you know, for a while there, that was up in the air because, you know, baseball was basically, you couldn't watch it if you still had Xfinity because Bally Sports and Comcast couldn't reach an agreement. And then the app is still going to exist. The Bally Sports Plus app is still going to exist. You're still going to be able to watch games that way. We're moving towards, in the future, it doesn't really come into effect this year. You know, you watching games on Peacock, on Amazon Prime, also on Amazon Prime, because Amazon will be broadcasting the Bally Sports you know, properties as well. And then, you know, whatever games may be on national TV. So, yeah, that's what we're moving towards. But this year, I expect it's going to be a lot of the same of what we've had, you know, the last couple of years.
In terms of what do you think of David Aldridge's offseason last? I'm not impressed because it's been uneventful sort of explanation in terms of the his grade for the Athletic.
I haven't caught this. What is it?
He did a ranking, and I guess the rest of it, sort of like in the same way you guys did the top 25. He did a ranking of the off seasons, who had the best off season, and literally there at the top 30 through 21. You don't have to go; it's right there at the top. He's got the Memphis Grizzlies, and sort of, and I'll paraphrase, but it was, you know, I don't hate the Grizzlies. I actually like them. You know, I like what they've got, but they didn't do much. Yes, they get Edie. I don't think it was necessarily a stretch because it fits. However, they didn't do much. And he said, our way of ranking, my way of ranking, because it was his set of rankings, is that this is based on how much better you got because of off-season moves. And his point essentially was that there wasn't much. It was uneventful. And so he had them behind Portland. I mean, he had them 30th. They're dead last. He had them behind the Clippers. And I just, you know, for all of us, I thought it was a little bit of a roll your eyes because, again, if you look at the bigger picture, the Grizzlies didn't have a lot to do in terms of, right, in terms of work with everything that's lined up.
I think it's hard to quibble with them being towards the bottom of the league. I mean, like, I'm not saying that they had a bad offseason, but it is kind of true that they didn't do all that much. This is just a bet on what they did a season ago, right? Like, they never got to see out the Marcus Smart stuff. They didn't have Brandon Clark for the entirety of the season. They had all those guys hurt. Now it's just a re-up of, like, okay, we believed in it last year.
Yeah.
Now we're going to get the chance to actually see it. So it does feel like the team is rejuvenated, right? Like, this offseason, you've made a ton of upgrades because you've just gotten guys back. And that is not the same as, like, going out and making upgrades. I mean, the Edie thing is, like, the only major difference, I think, on this team. You've made discoveries. You discovered Vince Williams Jr. You discovered G.G. Jackson. You think you're going to be able to find a way to utilize those two pieces. So, yeah, this roster feels entirely rejuvenated. But just from a transaction standpoint, they didn't really do all that much, and that's fine. But you know what they did do, Jason, is they positioned themselves.
I think that's part of it. Yeah, where you're going. I think that adds to it. I think that's part, right? I mean, if you don't go all in exactly where you're going, if you don't make the all-in move, like you and I have discussed with John, like they didn't go all in. And at some point, that might be a mistake. But if you don't go all in, this idea, right, that they've created flexibility, gotten under the tax line, gotten Kennard back on a deal that they like, should that be included as well in terms of move you've made? Doesn't that add to it when you combine those things?
Yeah, but it's not as sexy as some
it's
of the
sexy.
Other moves.
Oh, I get it, but you know, but dead last, like, is, we say, I mean, if it's 20th, nobody, well, probably okay, but dead last, as we thought, was extreme.
Dead last is too low. I would agree
right.
with that.
Yeah.
But it's hard to argue with the fact, like, it wasn't.
There wasn't
exactly
a lot of action. I'm with you on that.
But, like, there was never going to be action.
But there didn't need to be action back
to where
John's going.
So it's like, to me, it's like,
unless you made the all-in move.
Why punish? It's not like the Grizzlies were idle. They were just sort of standing pat. You know, like, that doesn't mean that it's a bad off. They, you know, it's like, what was there to do? What move was there to make that they should have made? Yeah, that's my problem.
I want to add one point here, and that is, we can applaud their flexibility that they have found a way to come in under the tax and they've left themselves room under the first apron, and, like, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? If they don't do something with it,
oh, yeah,
then it's not worth anything.
I'm with you.
So if they just decide that they don't want to be a tax team, which is a possibility, by the way, because this is the way that this league operates, right? You have to pay other teams if you're a tax team. Like, you know, other leagues don't operate the same way as the NBA. Like, there is a world in which the Grizzlies just don't want to be a tax team and don't go into the tax. And then this flexibility that we're praising doesn't really matter because you never really cashed in on it or used it.
Yeah.
So, like, they have to use it to make it a valuable tool. And again, like, I think that they should use it. And I'm going to keep preaching that I think that they should use it. They didn't have to use it in the offseason. But when we get to the stretch of December and January, if this team looks like they're really highly competitive, go make a trade to make yourself better. You're in your championship window. Go do it. Go utilize this flexibility that you've created for yourself. I think that's pretty important to know.
That's where we said, just like you're saying, that's where you look at what Dallas did last year. You do exactly that. Like the change that they made at the trade deadline, you can envision that with the flexibility that you have, right? Or at least as a franchise, that's what you're telling yourself. Exactly going down the road that you just laid out, that we'll make that move then, you know, after seeing how it cooks here early.
Exactly, just like Dallas did.
Yep.
The training camp, Nashville. What's going on? Why are we moving it to Nashville? You know, there's a lot of great facilities in Memphis we could have done. What's the logic and the reasoning behind the decision to go to Nashville for this?
I mean, the logic and reasoning that's been explained to me is that they don't have access to the practice facility in Memphis because of the upgrades that are taking place to the arena. So they don't have enough space to hold practice. The Landers Center, like, yeah, it's an option, but it doesn't have two basketball courts. And, like, most practice gyms for teams across the NBA have at least two practice courts. The Grizzlies have 1.5 as it stands now. So, like, you know, they're moving to a location in which they are going to have ample space for the team to spread out and practice, because you're going to have more players held through training camp than you typically would during the regular season with your roster. So, I mean, I don't know what else to say other than that. Like, this isn't the first time the Grizzlies have done training camp out of town. Like, I was actually talking to Pete Pranica about this morning. Like, they did, when Para became the owner, they did two training camps in California at one point. They've done a training camp in Nashville. Like, this isn't, you know, this isn't a cause for alarm. Like, the team's lease runs through, what, 2029? Like, everybody calm down.
Yeah, why didn't you text John that yesterday?
5 years.
Exactly.
5 years ain't nothing.
Because John starts sounding the alarms, talking about they're moving to Nashville.
Ring the alarm.
You know how he is. Why don't you text him
and
calm this fool down, man?
Everything is calculated. Everything is calculated.
You can figure out the appropriate time to ring the alarm, but them doing training camp in Nashville doesn't mean anything. They've done training camp all different places. If they move to Nashville one day, if that ever is to happen, it'll because that city is booming and because we need to do our best to uplift Memphis to be, you know, the best city possible in order to make, you know, to make it appealing for the Memphis Grizzlies. So there's going to be sacrifices we may end up having to make as a city to chip in to try to keep the NBA team here. And I think all of that may happen, but we're not going to freak out about a training camp where they're going to hold training camp 5 years, you know, before whatever their current lease is they're on ends.
Like, well, yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I'm mostly joking, but I do think, you know, everything is on some level calculated.
It used to be at Para's old school or something out in Cali years ago. Wasn't that what it was? You mentioned the two they had at.
I think it was in Santa Barbara.
Yeah, Santa Barbara. Right. Yeah, and I think John thought they were going to leave then. You know, the same thing. We did the Nashville's trying to get a baseball team too. They can't have it all.
No, if the Grizzlies left, I don't think it would be. Nashville would not be the city I'm worried about.
Exactly.
But I mean, I don't.
Oh, I know, but believe me, I'm with you. I mean, I don't, this idea they'll be here forever, I'm not going to go there.
Right. I mean, cause like Drew said, I mean, there has to be.
Look at the freaking Rams and how much their valuation went up.
Yep.
When they go from St.
That's
Louis
right.
to LA.
That's
so
right.
It's just dollars and cents. And so we'd never be that naive to
That's
believe.
Right.
You know, you're just owed the Grizzlies for the rest of time.
Right.
As far as Memphis is concerned.
Now, Drew, do you have a memory of the Simmons Bank press box you'd like to share?
Get up in there.
No, I just remember that when I was covering the Tigers football team, it was a rendezvous in the press box every single week. So
that's the best thing we could say about
it. My first Memphis barbecue experience was in the press box.
That was first class about that press box. Oh, you're right, Drew, was the rendezvous.
Yeah, the windows were like, I remember we had to ask them to clean the windows because they were so, like, foggy you couldn't really see out. And so if it was really hot, no one wanted to open the windows. Or if it was really cold, everybody obviously wanted to keep the windows shut. But it was sometimes hard to see out onto the field. This is great. I'm glad they're doing it. You know, I haven't really thought about the logistics of this, but I just started thinking about it yesterday. Which way are the cameras going to point? Like, I'm sure there's an answer to this that I just haven't seen yet. But are they going to point towards the empty section? Because that doesn't seem like it'd be a good idea. But where are they going to put the cameras on the side that they're tearing down if it's going to point towards the part of the Liberty Bowl that's actually going to have stands? I guess they're going to have to build some platform or something.
Right, some temporary kind of, yeah. No, that's a good question that I'd love to talk to Ed Scott about. I got to tell you,
I remember Giannotto writing about this, but I don't know if the answer's in there about switching them over a year ago or something to the other side. And man, I don't remember if this was related, but that you remember Giannotto, I thought, wrote about it, and it was the showboats and they were doing it, but it was also going to be applied. I don't know if it applies here or not, but. The last I remember was any talk of this, like Giannotto writing about it back in the day. It's been a while,
yeah.
So I don't know what the update. I have no idea what the updated plan was. I think that was before these phases have started and all that. But maybe it's
been, that makes sense. Yeah. I think you ideally
turned it around.
You want it to face the part of the stadium that's going to actually have stands this year, because you don't want to look out into the parking lot with the Mid-South Coliseum in the background. But you definitely don't want that as your television product. And then you want to switch them the next year, right? Because you want them to face the nice corporate suites and all that. So, yeah, I'm interested in what they'll do there. I need to ask some people about that, because I just thought about that actually this morning as I was watching the press box videos.
Yeah, no, there are lots of questions about game day for sure, and that is up there with them. Drew, always appreciate your time,
Thank
man.
You for Thank this, you. Drew.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Yep. See ya. He is Drew Hill, covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian, out there with Luke Kennard at the FBSJC earlier today.
Drew was ready for that all-in move.
Mm.
You can tell.
Mm. Both you and him, Speedy Claxton. Y'all were waiting on that Speedy Claxton move.
You can sense it. The spirit of that.
Jared Allen.
Because he's right. If this fails, you could call it playing it safe, because that's what they've done, staying under the tax. And then you don't do anything at the deadline, or you don't shake it up, and it needed shaking up. Well, that's a failure. Then you can't credit them for this flexibility. So he's right, and he's holding them accountable.
Well, you got the trade deadline, right? I mean, you do still have that.
Again, I'm telling you, they are saying in that front office, we will do a Dallas. That's what you're telling yourself. Right? We like what we got. If we need to shake it up, we'll do what Dallas did. And look at Dallas run to the – that's what you're telling yourself as a front office.
Yeah.
I mean, right there, recent.
Exactly. All right. Hey, Adam Turnoff's going to join us at 125. We'll catch up with him about the NFL, some moves that went down, some thoughts on teams moving forward as we're, what, 2-3 weeks away? When's the first NFL game that counts?
Bears are 8th, so I think you got a Thursday game.
September
Is that going to be the 5th? Yeah. Yeah.
Ravens, Chiefs.
Let's go.
And don't forget.
Oh, that's a big one.
Don't forget, we have a Friday game in week one. You forgot, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
You sure did. And
you'll
do you know who
remind,
it is?
Nope, you'll have to remind me after the break.
It's Packers-Eagles. I'm not going to tell you. It's not like a big tease here. But it's Packers-Eagles.
Yeah, that was me.
I think that's in Brazil.
There is a Brazil game. Is that the one?
That's the one, yeah. Okay. So we have a Friday
is that
game.
Down in San Paulo?
Yeah. So that's a good
I've
one.
I've always wanted to get down there for the parades and festivals.
There you go. Well, now you got an excuse, man. Book your ticket.
No.
Book your ticket, my brother.
No.
Anyway, we'll talk to Adam Turnoff about all that and more at 125.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!